Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
At Hallis Hall.
Guys, I know it's Sunday. I know it's early.
Guys, someone should wake up.
Hey,
someone should wake up.
Get yourself right. This is like when you wake up.
Yikes.
And this is like when you wake up and all of a sudden on Sunday afternoon your doorbell rings and you've got 10 Amazon packages and you're like, what the hell did I do when I was drunk?
Yeah, what did you order? Or maybe you order some Grubhub and then you wake up to the doorbell ringing at 3 a.m. and you're like, oh yeah, I did order a pizza.
There's a new one that just came out that there's a SB Nation Detroit that's tweeting at the Bears saying, hey, while you're still hacked, trade us Khalil Mack for a sixth rounder. And the Bears have, through their Twitter account, basically agreed to this.
Yeah. Okay. So Tyler, thank you. So
it's binding.
So let's let people know what we're talking about. It seems as if the Chicago Bears official Twitter account right now has been hacked and is continuously being hacked. And that's why we're joking that someone should be woken up at Hallis Hall, because something's going on there, and you can find it for yourself what they're tweeting out. But clearly, there is something going on, and looks like the Bears are offering up a Khalil Mack for $1 now to the Detroit Lions.
Seems like a good deal.
Yeah, and obviously, anything that happens on Twitter is real. So
it's binding. Sense. Binding contract.
So Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. You know, yesterday was the Senior Bowl, and we'll keep you up to date. If there's actually any real news that comes from this Twitter hacking, we will bring it to you.
Well, if you want to pull it back, like about 20 minutes ago, you went on a White Sox, not rant, but you went on a long White Sox talk thing. You were saying a lot of things about the White Sox.
A talk thing? That's what we do?
It wasn't a rant.
No,
I don't want to say
a rant.
But it was
a monologue.
I thought it was solid information.
It was. You were giving a solid White Sox take. Okay. I did not hear anything you said because the Bears had tweeted out that they had a new owner. And I was like, wait, what is going on?
Well, and that's not true.
Of course not.
So if you're just listening to the radio, it's not true.
Not true. And I'm trying to do, did they get hacked? I'm looking for stories. Yeah. I'm doing all this. I'm waiting. I'm listening to see, like, is when he stops talking, I'm going to have to say something. But I'm not going to know what he's talking about. So I might just say the same thing again. So there was a lot of stuff going on in my brain there for a good 3 minutes. The hamster definitely just fell on the wheel.
Well, and
2 minutes.
And my side of it was I started to give you a thought on the White Sox, and I just continued because I saw that something was going on with you over there, and I didn't know if you were having a stroke or if you were trying to be Neve from Catfish and trying to get down to the internet sleuthing that you were doing.
I was.
But that's what we're doing right now, is we're keeping an eye on what's going on with the Chicago Bears Twitter account. But more pressing matters is what the Bears have to do this offseason, especially with the quarterback position. And Abdallah, when I look at what this Bears team has, I think it's pretty obvious. We can point to a lot of different parts of the field where they can improve, right? Tight end, offensive line. You would like to add some more young stud defensive help as well. I know the defense is one of the best in the National Football League, but a part of keeping them to that point is having young players to supplement what you already have. And then you can maybe let go of some higher priced free agents if you need to make spots and make position cap space available for a quarterback if that's what you want to do in this offseason. But I think the one thing that we have to kind of keep our eyes on is what will the Bears do in the draft, having 2 second-round picks in this draft. They have no first rounder, no third rounder, 2 in the second round. And will Ryan Pace use one of these picks on a quarterback? And that brings us to this weekend, because the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama took place yesterday. And there was a lot of talent on the field. And especially if you're a Bears fan, a lot of guys to keep your eyes on yesterday who may be Chicago Bears targets when we get to the draft later on in this offseason.
Yeah, the MVP went to Justin Herbert. He had a decent game. All these guys had, like, okay games. Like, they're not, you know, obviously this is more of a week of meetings for these guys. You know, they're meeting with different teams. Different teams are scouting these players. Not so much on how they play in the actual game, because if you look at, like, the offensive line was giving none of these guys, like, any help. You know, Herbert had a decent game. Jordan Love had a really good game, and people are saying his stock moved up. If you look at Mel Kiper's draft that came out this week, he's got Jordan Love going 24th overall to the New Orleans Saints. So that would mean you've got, obviously, Joe Burrow going number one overall. You've got Tua going to the Dolphins. You had Justin Herbert going to the Chargers. And then you've got Jordan Love going to the Saints. And what does that mean? That just means it's one quarterback, one more quarterback off the board for when the Bears look to draft a quarterback. Now, where is Ryan Pace going to draft a quarterback? That's going to be the conversation, because if you draft someone in the second round with their second round pick, or which is what I wanted, I would like, I like when Ryan Pace gambles. You know, like, I get it. You saw your quarterback, you wanted to move up, you thought you were getting guy, you wanted it, you were head. Now, obviously, you had the wrong guy, but still, I don't mind the conviction. I don't mind going in and you want your guy. This is, you have a small window here with this defense. You need to win right now, because you don't know how long this is going to last, right? You have a small window here. So if he wants to get frisky and he wants to be the epitome of the only Ryan Pace GIF that is out there. If you search Ryan Pace in GIFs, and it's him Vince McMahon's head from the WWE, and he's strolling in. I want him to walk into the draft like that. Trade those two picks in the second round, move into the first round, and get a legitimate quarterback, because I want someone who's going to legitimately test Trubisky. That's someone that is going to come in and have a legitimate competition with Mitchell Trubisky, because if you don't draft someone in the first round, if you don't draft someone in the second round, if you wait until your fifth or sixth round pick comes up, and that's where you take a quarterback, that's a backup. That is not a legitimate competition. That is not someone that is going to test Trubisky for a starting spot, because those guys, all the good quarterbacks, are going to be gone by the end of the second round. Even Jalen Hurts will probably be gone end of the second round. Maybe he makes it to the third round. But you know how these GMs are, Chris. When quarterbacks start getting off the board, they start getting frisky. They start getting itchy. They're like a kid at a movie or at a restaurant. They can only contain themselves for so long. They can be good. You can keep having, but eventually the kid's going to be a kid, and a 3-year-old's going to do 3-year-old things. And what they're going to do is get itchy, and they're going to want a quarterback, because that's what we see from these GMs. They have to get this quarterback position right, because if you don't, look at the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes could possibly win a Super Bowl. Look at I know Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't been utilized as much in, but he's had a good season in his first full season for the 49ers. You have to get the quarterback position right, because if you don't, you end up like the Bears, and you're sitting out with a really good defense, and you're just wasting this great defense away.
Well, sure. And Adam Abdallah, Chris Black here, talking football with you at 312-332-3776. First of all, that was a long monologue from you. I was not internet sleuthing while you pulled that off. I was looking at the NFL draft board and thinking of draft thoughts. Mm-hmm. But two, my other thought from listening to you do that was, you don't have kids, so what do you know what a kid at a movie is like?
I got kids. I got
what
people.
What do you mean
that,
you have kids?
I got,
is this
people,
something I should let,
no,
Whitney,
I got people.
Know?
That, I got nieces. I got nephews. I got. Okay. I got second cousins.
Because,
I got.
You know,
I got kids.
When you look at the draft,
I know
board,
how they operate.
It's clear that Cincinnati, with the number one pick, they are going to use it on quarterback. It sounds like all the intel that's coming in is that it'll be on Joe Burrow.
Yeah,
that'll be the quarterback to go number one. I don't know if I agree that he's going to be the best quarterback. I kind of feel like this is one of those things where we see recency in what we saw and the injury to Tua Tagovailoa. And I wonder if really the team that's set up for the most success in the future is really Miami sitting at 5, because Miami needs a quarterback too. And it sounds as if Tua is going to be there for them at 5. And that's the team that's going to be able to take the best quarterback in this year's draft. Then you get to number 6. And that's where you have the Chargers. Justin Herbert, mm-hmm. He played well yesterday in his limited time in the Senior Bowl. He went 9 of 12. He had 83 yards and a touchdown. He probably was the quarterback that looked the best during the game at the Senior Bowl. There were some different reports on who looked the best throughout the week, but it seems like Herbert was the guy, and we knew heading into yesterday that he was going to be the best quarterback at this year's Senior Bowl. Mm-hmm. After those three teams, you're right, Adam. It gets a little tricky to figure out who are the teams that are going to take a quarterback, who's going to move up, who's going to be a team that's going to surprise us, draft a quarterback for development? You know, like, that doesn't rule out everyone that just because they have a starting quarterback now, that when we get to the first round and we see three quarterbacks go off the board by this sixth pick, mm-hmm. you know, what happens when we get to 13 and 14? That's the Colts at 13, the Bucks at 14.
What about 15? You think the Broncos are sold on Drew Lock?
Okay, three teams right there. And you could even maybe throw in the Raiders at 12. Mm-hmm. 12, 13, 14, 15. Those are four teams. They don't have a quarterback who's elite and 100% the guy that they're behind. There's questions out there if Derek Carr is really the guy that John Gruden wants. Mm-hmm. So if you really look at the first round, there are many teams who could select quarterbacks, and you wonder to yourself, as a Bears fan, who's going to be available for the Bears, and do the Bears have to use that first, second-round pick on a quarterback? Because everyone's really off the board by the time they get there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if you're going to be able to pass up that first second-round pick to hope that your second
yeah.
can get it done for you.
Well, it's just a matter of what Ryan Pace is thinking to do with the quarterback room. Obviously, you're going to need to bring in some form of a veteran as a, you know, you need three quarterbacks in the room, right? Trubisky's going to be there. You're going to have to bring in a veteran, and you're going to have to draft someone. You're going to bring in a Marcus Mariota. Maybe you see what Alex Smith has left, but ultimately you're going to have to trade for Alex Smith, and he's due so much money this year and for the foreseeable future, or for the next 2 years left on his deal after this year. So you're going to have to check that. There's so many possibilities.
Who's the ideal fit for the Chicago Bears from guys that were at the Senior Bowl yesterday? We'll tell you next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Fred Huebner takes over from 10 to noon right here on ESPN 1000. This week, the Chicago Bears emailed season ticket holders, and they told them in a long email that they will be raising ticket prices by 3.9% for 2020. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app.
Now, you're a season ticket holder.
My wife is, and my dad is.
My family has
access to a lot of season tickets.
Your family
luckily.
Has season tickets.
It's pretty awesome.
Your family has season tickets.
Pretty
you are
awesome.
A season ticket holder.
Yeah,
you
I'm
are
lucky.
In direct communication with a season ticket holder.
With two of them, yes.
What did your dad say when he got the letter?
You know, I didn't get his opinion on it. He just sent it to me the moment they sent it to him, so mm-hmm. I knew about it.
Yeah.
But let me give you my opinion. If you get mad at this, you should also get mad at other things that are just a part of life, like the rise in gas prices.
Mm-hmm.
Get mad at that.
Yep.
Get mad at Uber surcharges.
Yep.
If that's what you want to do. Movie tickets, you know, some places it's like 15 to 20 bucks now to see a movie, you know, and I also looked it up yesterday. The movie industry, they've also had a rise in ticket prices of 3.9% in 2019, according to the National Association of Theater Owners.
Mm-hmm.
Be mad in downtown Chicago when you go out that a drink, a cocktail, is like 13 bucks. Mm-hmm. Be mad about that.
Mm-hmm. I'm mad about a lot of things costing me a lot of money.
How about this? Be mad that most restaurants today are shared plate restaurants.
Oh, you hate.
Because they suggest to the consumer
that
ordering more smaller plates will allow you to share and to try more things. But in reality, what happens is you get less food, less filling, and you pay more money. So get mad at that.
But you
because guess what, Abdallah? As life goes on, prices go up, and it's just a way of life.
But
as someone who goes to the games, I'm not bothered at all that the 3.9%, because guess what? That's just a way of life. Everything goes up. I get it. Would you like them to be a playoff team and to win Super Bowls and then for them to say, hey, guess what? The reason we're raising the ticket prices is because we won a Super Bowl championship? Yes, that would be nice. But guess what? I understand the economics. I understand why they do it. I understand. I'm not mad at it. If you want to be mad at it, be mad at everything else too.
But you
gas prices, small plate restaurants, Uber charges. Get mad at that stuff too.
But you can agree that it's bad optics. That when you after a losing season like this.
So is that the rule? Anytime you have a losing season, you cannot raise ticket prices?
No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that you can agree that it's bad optics to say this is what we're doing. Saying that, yeah, we underachieved. Yeah, we get it. We know that we, you know, people don't like coming to our stadium because our stadium is bad. And we don't, you know, it's we should have built a dome. And we like, you agree that the optics of this, that after a losing season, especially as poor as the team looked this season, that it's a bad look. I'm all in favor. You want to, when you make the playoffs and you play well and you have a successful season, you win or you're over 500, raise those ticket prices. Take advantage of it. Because you know what's cool? Winning. And everybody doesn't mind paying a little more when you're winning. When you're losing, however, people care more. So you can understand why some people are mad. Like you have to, as a person in society, you have to understand why some people, when you present a subpar product, like, yeah, I get it. I got to pay more for a little bit for alcohol when I'm out because I'm in Chicago. I get it. I got to pay an Uber surcharge when I want to leave a restaurant at 11 o'clock at night, because guess what? Everybody else is leaving restaurants at 11 o'clock at night, or when it's New Year's Eve and it's past midnight, there's a surcharge because guess what? Everybody else is trying to get home. Those are assumed costs. When I live in the third largest market in the country, the third largest city in the country, I understand that there are certain costs that are involved with that. When the team performs as poorly as they did, I can also assume that you're not going to charge me more money for crap. That's something I can also assume.
312-332-3776 if you want to talk Bears football with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. I get your point. It's just, to me, poor optics was back in the day, a few years ago, the Chicago Bears during the preseason games, they wouldn't even take the effort to paint the field for preseason games. Mm-hmm. You know, like the end zones and, mm-hmm. and center field in at 50-yard line, mm-hmm. the big C that would be out there. Like, the Bears used to be super cheap to where they didn't even paint the field for preseason games that the season ticket holders were paying top dollar to go see that crap on the field, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, they were clearly mailing it in for the preseason games. They've changed those things, right?
Okay.
Like, I get it. You want to say the optics are bad? I think the optics are worse that they're not going to be in Bourbonnais for a training camp anymore.
Yes, because that's
the
other thing.
I feel like that is something that is worse to the season to the fan base, is that you are cutting out people who only had one opportunity to see the team, and it was a cheaper way of doing so. So like anyone could go. That to me is a worse optic than, say, raising ticket prices by 3.9%.
But that's part of it. You do that 1 week, and then you do this the next week. What's next? What's next?
What do you mean they're going to raise all concession prices
after that?
What do you mean what's next? The way it works is ticket prices are just going to go up, just like the movie industry,
to me,
until people stop going.
But you have to agree that it's bad optics to do this after losing and cutting training camp. You cut people's access to training camp. You're not going to have 15,000 show up to Bourbon or to Halas Hall. That's not going to happen. Because when you have Bourbonnais, it's a huge place. You and I have gone the past few years. Like, it's a huge open space. Everybody goes. It's a huge family fest. I mean, you've got, like, all this stuff for kids. You can buy stuff. They've got bounce houses and all this kind of things. The players can. You don't have that because of where Halas Hall is located. Halas Hall is in the back of some office park somewhere in Lake Forest. It's not something that you can fit 15,000 fans to.
And the optics to me on that are worse than the optics of raising ticket prices by 3.9%. Again, if it's an Uber surcharge, if it's gas prices, if it's movie tickets, it all goes up. That's how life works. It's rare that you see a team like the Atlanta Falcons who have an owner who build a new stadium and mm-hmm. say, guess what? Concession prices are going to be $2 for a hot dog or $5 for a beer.
But they could do that.
It's rare. Of
but
course they could. But why would you when you can charge $15 for a beer and people will still pay it?
Completely agree with
you. It's bad business.
But it still looks bad. I know it's the cost of doing business. I know it's the cost of...
I don't think it really does look bad.
I think it does. I think
because it doesn't bother me.
It looks bad because... That's great. It doesn't bother you. It bothers everybody else that is that can't go to Bourbon A, that rely on going to Bourbon A to meet players, to have their kids get pictures with players, to you know, when players like Kyle Long and Mitchell Trubisky will stand there and sign autographs 45 minutes after practice, you're not going to have that kind of access anymore.
And don't get me wrong here. It's a lot of money. Like, I get it. You're paying a lot of money, and 3.9% on season tickets is a lot of money.
I totally get it. It's even more for non-club level.
But it's also a part of just the way of life. And, like, if you want to have outrage every single time your professional team raises ticket prices, like, guess what, buddy? That's just how it's going to be.
But it's
like,
the way that they do it.
Like, they're not going to come out and say, hey, we missed the playoffs, so we're slashing ticket prices by 80%.
No, what they should have done, Chris, is they should have picked one this year. Pick one. You sucked last year. You were awful. No one believes in your quarterback that you say you're going to stick with. Find me the last remaining truther, okay? I know they're out there. But ultimately, the entire league knows your GM is a joke and that you picked the worst of the three possible quarterbacks, okay? You were bad in the regular season. You missed the playoffs after you went... You didn't go first to worst, but you went first to third. You're basically worst. You basically were the worst team in the division, okay? Then you cut training camp. We're not going to Bourbon A. Sorry, fans. If you want to come, we'll figure it out. We'll figure something out for Lake Forest, but it's not going to be the amount of people we had before, right? Then a week later, you're going to raise ticket prices? Just pick one. Either pick one between Bourbon A and the ticket prices. Say, we'll raise ticket prices next year. We'll go up 5% next year. We'll go up 4.5% next year. You can't do it's it. The problem is the blows to fans just keep on coming.
Okay, let me ask you a question. If they get a real quarterback this offseason, is it a problem?
Well, who's the real quarterback?
Doesn't matter. If the answer to the question is yes, they will have a real quarterback for game one of the 2020 season, are you okay with a 3.9% jump in
prices? But did raising prices directly lead you? No, salary cap.
I feel like because of the way the season ended and the fact that our future hinges on a quarterback who can't throw downfield is a part of the reason why people point to these things and say that it's such a bad thing and have outrage about it is because the team right now is kind of teetering on this. Do we have a championship window? Can Trubisky figure it out? I don't trust him. The whole thing. If they have a real quarterback heading into next season,
of course it is. If they have a team that looks like they're capable of winning and going to the playoffs and winning a championship, then yes, of course, all is fine. The problem is these things compounded together is a bad look.
Okay, you mentioned Trubisky truthers.
Oh, here we go.
Sorry, my finger slipped there. That's the that's our X-Files theme for any of the Trubisky truthers who are out there. Let's go, if you want to join us, at 312-332-3776. Let's go do Greg in St. John's, Indiana, here on ESPN 1000. Greg, you're on ESPN 1000.
Make it quick, Greg. We got Bulls news.
What's up, first-time caller, long-time listener? You going to cut me off now, Abdallah? You
probably.
Got some marketing news?
Probably, yeah. We got some more marketing.
Oh, it's Blue Brad.
This dude is mad because he made his point and we couldn't expound on it because Maui Marketing was out for 6 weeks. Sorry.
The poll results went in. Mine got 68%. My take was more important.
Yeah, because that's your followers.
Abdallah, I like that you're sticking up for the fans today.
What do you got, Greg?
That's what I was going to say. I like that Abdallah's sticking up for the fans today. Bluck, you can't just give in to the organization throwing peanuts to us. And I know you're a season ticket holder, so you get a little more than the average fan. I'm not a season ticket holder, but I go as much as a season ticket holder does. They are taking away way too much. Yes, you're going to raise ticket prices. Yes, there's always going to be inflation. That just comes with the territory of any business, like you're pointing out. But to take away camp, Ted Phillips at the end of the year presser had an audio clip where he said that Bears 100 was a heavy workload for the organization. That's a slap in the face to a fan like me. You guys are a world first class, the charter organization of the NFL. I watch the Cubs take care of their fans like gods every year. They should be able to do the same for their fans. They only put on a draft party, like I pointed out the other day. They don't do a fan expo. It doesn't need to be 3 days long like Bears 100. One day where everybody comes to Soldier Field, you have the facilities, and you do some Q&As. And then some fans can at least be able to ask the people that, you know, the head of the horse's mouth. I mean, they're, like Abdallah said, it's the access. We're not going to be able to, it's just the people that go to the games now. And there's a lot more than 60,000 Bears fans out there in this world. I mean, Bears 100, you had people coming from all over the world, spending big money, bringing their family of five from.
Yeah, Greg, I appreciate the phone call. I'm not to intentionally cut you off, but we're up against the break and sports are coming up. But we understand what you're saying. What are you laughing at, Abdallah?
You come off Frags again!
All right, Sports Star is next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Chris Blunt, Dan Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. Something in sports really annoyed me this week, Abdallah. Really annoyed me.
Wasn't spending more money on Bears tickets.
Well, you know me. I'm not like, I feel like I give a good voice of reason approach to things most times. I don't kind of go nuts over too much in sports. But something really, really frustrated me this week.
Share with the class.
Listen, Eli Manning is not a Hall of Fame quarterback. End of story. That's it. End of story. And the topic annoys me because it's very simple in my head. He's not, it's not the Hall of Average quarterbacks, right? It's not the Hall of, he played a lot of seasons for a long time and he got a lot of stats fame, right? Like that. Like, that's not the deal here. It's not the Hall of, he made two really good passes in the Super Bowl, so he should be there. It's not the Hall of, you can't tell the history of the National Football League without Eli Manning being there. That's not what it is. I thought the Hall of Fame was supposed to be the best of the best. Growing up, and maybe people feel differently. Maybe they think it's a participation award. As long as you're there for a really long time, you get to get in. That's it. Because to me, it's so frustrating this week listening to people talk about Hall of Fames when it's simple. You're either a Hall of Famer or you're not. If you're trying to come up with all these excuses on why someone should be there, all these different reasons, he's probably not a Hall of Famer. You know why? Because if you say yes or no, Hall of Famer, you should probably say yes. If you say no, he's not. And that's exactly what it is with Eli Manning. It's not difficult to think about. And you get people who want to point to all these stats, right? Okay, well, he won two Super Bowls, right? In 2007, the Giants were 10-6. They were a wild card team. He was 25th in the National Football League that season in quarterback rating. He had 23 touchdowns and 20 interceptions. Names with a better quarterback rating during that season ahead of Eli Manning: Kyle Bowler with the Ravens, Brian Greasy with the Bears, Derek Anderson with the Browns, Chad Pennington with the Jets, Jason Campbell with the Redskins. All had higher quarterback ratings in 2007 when the Giants won the Super Bowl. You know why? Because he wasn't the leader of that team winning a Super Bowl, because their defense was great. And then they point to 2011. They went 9-7. They won the NFC East. They played wild card weekend. All right, a better season. Seventh in quarterback rating. He had 29 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. Here are the five guys with more than 29 touchdown passes that season. Breeze, Hall of Famer, 46. Rodgers, Hall of Famer, 45. Stafford, 41 touchdowns, not a Hall of Famer. Brady, 39, Hall of Famer. Romo, 31, not, right? It's pretty easy. Yes or no, Hall of Famer. Eli, Hall of Famer. Listen, just because he had a long career, he accumulated stats, does not mean he's a Hall of Famer. At no point during Eli's career did you, sitting on your couch, look at the TV and go, man, I'm watching one of the best players in the National Football League. That guy's a Hall of Famer. No. The answer is no. All of you, no. At no point when you're watching Eli Manning play did you think he was one of the best players in the National Football League. He's not a Hall of Famer. It really annoyed me. Hall of Fame conversations really irritate me.
No, he's not. And the fact that we're having the discussion means he's not a Hall of Famer.
Thank you.
Like,
yes.
Like, the fact that we're talking about whether or not he's a Hall of Famer, and there's all these questions and all these the talking heads on SportsCenter and all the get-ups and the whatnot, that answers your question. If you have to debate it, it's probably he's not a Hall of Famer. It's more likely that he is not a Hall of Famer. And I believe that if his name was Eli Jones or Eli Smith or Eli McCormick or Eli whatever other last name he could have, that's
good old
not
Eli McCormick.
That's not Manning.
Hurling the football down the field.
If he wasn't a Manning, we wouldn't be having this conversation. That he is getting in based on his last name, because the name Manning, you think of Peyton, and you're like, oh, well, yeah, I mean, come on. Archie, Peyton, Eli, yeah, they should all be, it should all be, all of them, you know, they're all good.
And to go along with that thought process, a part of what annoyed me with the Eli conversation and assuming that he should be a Hall of Famer is with the Baseball Hall of Fame this week, too. I mean, look at the voting from last year for the Baseball Hall of Fame and this year with the Baseball Hall of Fame. How the heck is Larry Walker a Hall of Famer?
Well, it shouldn't. The whole process is stupid.
Go back to last year. Larry Walker got 54.6% of the vote last year.
You wouldn't have been able to pick out Larry Walker in a lineup if I gave you $1 million.
Somehow, in 1 year, he jumped over 20% and now he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
What changed from year 9 to year 10?
He's a nice guy. He's got a SpongeBob shirt.
All right, fine. He got the jump. So you're telling me then next year, the three guys he leaped over?
Mm-hmm.
Because last year, he was behind not only Curt Schilling at 60%, Roger Clemens at 59%, and Barry Bonds at 59%. This year, he jumped over all three of them, and those are the next three guys. Schilling at 70%, Clemens at 61%, Bonds at 60%. So do all three of those guys get the Larry Walker 10th year, 10%, 20% jump next year?
It's the problem is the process is stupid.
Of course it is.
This first ballot being
Larry Walker, a Hall
of Famer.
Get out of here.
This goes back to the whole Jeter thing. You can't tell me that someone can legitimately look at Derek Jeter and go, nope, not this year, buddy. Not this year. It shouldn't be this vote. It should, yes or no. You're a Hall of Famer or you're not a Hall of Famer. There shouldn't be a limit on how many people go in a given year. There shouldn't be any of this stuff. When you're eligible, you're either a Hall of Famer or you're not a Hall of Famer. And if you're not voted on that year, then tough. That's it. You get one shot and that's it. Because you're right. Did Larry Walker's stats get better over the last 10 years?
What happened in the last year, specifically, 20% jump? Where is this coming from that Larry Walker is now all of a sudden a Hall of Famer?
For the one guy that didn't vote for Derek Jeter, was he like, well, maybe I'll take a look at his stats next year and they'll get a little better? No. Maybe did Derek Jeter wrong him in a locker room and in a clubhouse at one point? Probably. And that's probably what was it. Because these guys hold grudges. Like, it's stupid. Like, the whole conversation about, oh, well, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Is he a Hall of Famer or is he not?
Right.
It doesn't matter. First ballot, second ballot, third ballot. Is he a Hall of Famer or is he not?
Go back 2 years ago. Larry Walker only got 34% of the vote. You're telling me in 2 years he jumped to 76% because he is all of a sudden now a Hall of Famer? And, like, I would ask the same question about Larry Walker I asked you about Eli Manning.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch Larry Walker play in the early 90s, did you ever think to yourself, this is one of the best players in baseball?
No. Did I? When you watched Derek Jeter, did you think that?
Yeah, Jeter, I thought sometimes. Yeah, yes, of course. But like with Larry Walker, okay, he accumulated stats at Coors Field.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's a Hall of Famer because why? He was just on the ballot for a long time? Come on now. This is nonsense. He's not a Hall of Famer. I mean, and listen, It annoys me because I don't, like, listen, I get it. If you want to be morally righteous and say that Bonds and Clemens never deserved to get in because they cheated, they took steroids, you can't prove to me that others who are in the Hall of Fame didn't use from that era. You just can't, because we don't have the information.
You also can't prove that that they did it either.
Sure. You can't.
That's just conversation.
It's unknown. We don't know.
They never failed a test.
It's an entire era.
Like, you want to tell me Manny Ramirez shouldn't get in because he failed test? Yeah. Okay. Failed test. I get that.
Pull up Larry Walker's numbers.
Oh,
it's not like that. They were 100% hitting 45 bombs a year.
I get it. I seen them.
Let's go to Steve in Elmhurst. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, good morning, guys. I kind of wonder if either one of you guys actually saw Larry Walker during his playing career, because I did, and I saw him as early on as when he was with the Expos and all the years that with Colorado. Guy was a phenomenal player. I mean, he was one of the best players of his era, and I thought he should have been voted in years ago. And I just look at it like these guys had other, you know, guys who were deserving of their votes in previous years. And so he just didn't get enough votes previously, but then they looked at it and said, hey, this is his last year of eligibility. This guy really does deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, so I'm not going to let this go by without him getting my vote in this last year, because I think he's very deserving of the recognition as a Hall of Famer. And by the way, the word I think you were looking for before instead of monologue is diatribe.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. We appreciate it. You know, the one thing
diatribe
I look at...
Diatribe makes you sound like a crazy person,
like,
I think.
Like, I get that Larry Walker has had a nice career. I get Steve's point.
Yeah.
But if you want to look at the steroid era, Larry, I'm not saying that there's any proof to any of this. It's just I'm skeptical of all these numbers. So to say that he is just automatically clean, I mean, look at the numbers. They pop. Do they not pop towards the end of the 90s when the steroid era was rampant throughout baseball?
Oh, they pop.
Okay. All right. I'm just like, how can you take, like, so if you're going to hold Bonds out, Bonds had double the war of a Larry Walker, yet he's not in the Hall of Fame. Like, it's insane to me. And the same thing with the Eli Manning conversation. Eli Manning's not a Hall of Famer.
No.
He was very good for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. Congratulations.
He made two good throws. He should be in the Hall of two very good throws.
How about this? You can't write the history of the National Football League without Eli Manning. Who's writing the history without Eli Manning? Is the Hall of Fame the only history we have on professional football? No, it's not. It is not.
No. The Hall of two very good throws.
Well, I mean, he had a better career than two very good throws.
The Hall of a better catch.
I mean, listen, in his prime, who would you rather have as your quarterback? Eli Manning or Jay Cutler?
Oh, no, don't do this to me.
Well, I'm just asking you.
Jay Cutler.
You'd have to think about it, right?
No, I decided. It's Jay Cutler.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. Follow Chicago's home for sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Download the podcast of today's show at ESPNChicagoPodcast.com. You can find them on TuneIn, Spotify, and also on TuneIn and iTunes. You can search Bleck and Abdallah. Thanks to Tyler Aki for producing today's show. We're talking a lot of football with you. I saw on the Draft Network, they wrote a column, the ideal fit for teams and quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Chicago Bears, the person they list for the ideal fit is Jalen Hurts from Oklahoma.
I didn't write it. I'm telling you, I don't work for the Draft Network. I did not write that piece, but I want Jalen Hurts on this team.
Yesterday, Jalen Hurts went 6 of 13 for 58 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Didn't look too great. But some rave reviews about Jalen Hurts throughout the week at the Senior Bowl down in Mobile, Alabama.
Well, look, the offensive line he was playing behind was not good. And I sound like a Trubisky truther here, but if you watch those plays, he was getting killed. And they were booing the line, they weren't booing him. Like, he threw a bad interception because he got trucked on a play. He was also dealing with some stuff this week. His grandfather passed away this week, and he decided to stay instead of going home and going to the funeral. He stayed in Mobile and played in the Senior Bowl instead of going home and being with his family because he wants to improve his draft stock. Everything that I know about Jalen Hurts, and I've been following Jalen Hurts since he was at Alabama before that. So, and then, you know, obviously Oklahoma, what he did there this year, setting records at Oklahoma, and obviously not a very good playoff game by him because they just got killed by LSU in their playoff game this year. But ultimately, couldn't be a better guy in the locker room, couldn't be a better guy in the meeting room. He is the guy who just wants to absorb and learn and do everything. And we both, you and I, thought he wasn't going to be as good as Kyler Murray, as Baker Mayfield at Oklahoma because of his accuracy and because that's something that he's always struggled with. And that's why he lost his job to Tua Tagovailoa. We can all agree that Tua Tagovailoa is the better quarterback by far. That's why he lost the job. But he's one of these guys that he could have left and he could have transferred right away. As soon as Nick Saban said Tua was going to be the starter, Jalen could have transferred, and he didn't. He stuck with it, character guy, someone that I think would be a great fit for the Bears, and someone that could give Trubisky a legitimate competition if they were to take him in the second round.
Last year at Oklahoma, Jalen Hurts threw 32 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, and I feel like the more we read about players coming into the draft and all the mock drafts and everything that's going to be out there before we get to the NFL draft, it seems like Jalen Hurts is going to be the quarterback that's going to be available when the Bears are up in the second round. That's what it seems like to me at this point. Let's go to Paul in Lake Forest. He's on ESPN 1000. What's up, Paul?
Hey, morning, guys. Another great show.
Thanks, pal. Thanks, Paul. What's up?
I heard from reputable sources that Burrow's family is not going to let him play at Cincinnati. So is Khalil Mack, Trubisky, and now there are a lot of people that think that Trubisky is still a quality guy. They blame his problems on, you know, bad offensive line. Everybody's finding out more and more that Nagy's not Jesus. So, Trubisky, Khalil Mack, and a second rounder maybe for that first pick. Is that enough?
For Joe Burrow, yeah, thanks for the call, Paul. We appreciate it. If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776. I would not do that, Abdallah. If it's Joe Burrow in the number one pick, if I'm picking that spot, I don't think I'm going Joe Burrow. I don't think that that's a hot take either. I think if you look at Justin Herbert and you look at Tua Tagovailoa, if the medicals check out with Tua, how could you pass on Tua Tagovailoa? I don't know if I could do that.
Because you're worried about his, if the medicals check out.
Take that off the table.
Okay. He already said himself that he may not be the same quarterback he was before because of the hip injury. He already said that. And now, I understand he'll be cleared, medically cleared. You said that's fine. But is he a risk to more injury? Is he injury prone? Every time, every game at Alabama, there was something, an ankle, a knee, the hip injury, which was a freak injury. But ultimately, he's a great quarterback when he's healthy. But how healthy? There's always something with him. There's always a tweaked ankle. There's always a slight knee injury. He's always got something going on. And I know that everybody's a victim of recency bias and what we saw from Joe Burrow in this season. But you also have to realize with Joe Burrow is dude's 45 years old. He's 24. This is why he was so good at LSU. Yeah. Let me lay this out for people. He's 23 years old, I believe. He's going to be 24. He's a graduate transfer. He was taking online classes. He has no restrictions about how long he can practice, how much he can practice, and how long he can be in the building. He was in the LSU football meeting room and in the tape room more than the assistants were. You know why? Because he's a graduate transfer. He already graduated college. He was taking online classes. There were no restrictions on him. The LSU had a professional quarterback at their disposal. He didn't have to worry about going to classes. He didn't have to worry about fitting classes in with practice tests, any of that kind of stuff. And I know people are going to be like, oh, he's a college athlete. They never have to worry about stuff. They do. Live in the real world. They do. Okay? They may get help here and there by people, boosters, whatever, but they still have to go to classes. There still are restrictions on practice and meetings and all that kind of thing, except for Joe Burrow. He didn't have those restrictions. So he could go into every meeting and have a full tape review time, full whatever. His full-time job while he was at LSU for that year was being a quarterback because he didn't have to worry about anything else.
And that's the reason why I'm a little skeptical about just assuming that Joe Burrow is going to be the best quarterback from this class. Justin Herbert and both Tua Tagovailoa, I think the skill sets are better than what we saw from Joe Burrow. The problem is Joe Burrow was so great last season in college football, not to get anything away from that. But again, if you look at the age, he's 23. And when you have the ability, like just think about to your days in college. If you're someone who went to college years ago or recently, or maybe if you're in high school and you're heading towards college, the age difference between when you start college and when you finish college, and then those first couple of years out of college are so dramatically different. And I think Abdallah nails it with they had a professional quarterback running the operation for the LSU Tigers. That's what Joe Burrow was. And I just wonder if his ceiling is as high as a Herbert or a Tua Tagovailoa's ceiling will be because he's a finished product at this point.
This is Joe Burrow.
Or is Joe Burrow got another level to go?
He might.
You know, I think that's why I would not, and back to the original point of the phone call from Paul in Lake Forest was, would you trade Mack and picks for someone like Joe Burrow? I would not do that.
I'm not trading Khalil Mack because then you spend the rest of your draft picks trying to draft Khalil Mack.
Well, right.
And like, he's, yeah, I know he had a down year this year, but ultimately he's still one of the best defensive players in the league.
I would like to add to Khalil Mack.
Yes.
I don't want to subtract from talent from the defensive side of the ball. I want to add to that. And as far as quarterbacks go, if I'm in the top 10 in the first round, I think that's why the Dolphins might be sitting in the best spot. Because if Tua and Herbert are there and they can take the guy that they want, because you know that the Bengals are sold on Burrow, the Redskins probably won't draft a quarterback, the Lions at three don't need a quarterback, and the Giants took a quarterback last year, you're going to be sitting at five in Miami. Could you see a situation in 3 years if Miami takes Tua Tagovailoa and the medicals check out and Tom Brady leaves or whatever happens with the Patriots? Don't the Dolphins have like 11 picks in this year's draft?
Yep.
Couldn't you see the Dolphins being the next team in the AFC East because of what they've built there? And if they hit on Tua Tagovailoa or Justin Herbert?
Absolutely.
Like, to me, that's a great situation for the Dolphins.
It sure is. And as far as the Bears go, I'm not saying Jalen Hurts is the answer and that he's going to be the savior of the franchise. I'm just saying he's a good option in the second round for the Bears that can test Trubisky and you can have a legitimate quarterback competition. That's all I'm saying. People act as if we're saying that Jalen Hurts is going to be the savior of the franchise. That's not what we're saying. The Bears have put themselves in this situation, and he may be the best option for them moving forward as someone you can draft and not have to pay a ton of money to get come here.
That's Adam Abdallah. I'm Chris Black. Fred Huebner up next right here on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.